This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org, International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 17, Number 6, December 2016. The title of this article is Faculty Members' Instructional Priorities for Adopting OER. The authors of this article are In-Sung Yung of the International Christian University of Japan, and Seong-Gyeon Hong of Ajao University in Korea. Abstract. This study aimed to investigate and classify faculty members' instructional priorities for adopting OER. In-depth interview data were collected from 10 faculty members from different regions and analyzed with NVivo 10. The original supposition was that the well-established instructional priorities, effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal would apply. However, it was found that in adopting OER, these faculty members had 4 instructional priorities: effectiveness, efficiency, appeal, and extension. Effectiveness was the most important consideration, followed by extension, appeal, and efficiency. Regional differences were also apparent. These findings were drawn upon to propose an elaborated model of instructional priorities for adopting OER. Keywords: appeal, effectiveness, efficiency, extension, instructional priorities, OER use. Introduction. Since the year 2000, freely available open educational resources, defined as teaching, learning, and research resources with an intellectual property license that permits them to be reused, reworked, remixed, and redistributed, have gained the attention of faculty. Various types of OER exist. OER can be full courses, course materials, modules, learning objects, textbooks, streamed videos, software, tests, assignments, case studies, e-portfolio, training materials, practice items, etc. OER can be divided by content type into several categories: text-based, audio-based, video-based, game-based, and multiple media. They may be static content, dynamic resources, a set of activities, or cases. Different types of OER can meet different needs and impact teaching and learning differently. However, it is generally posited that OER have the potential to meet the increasing demand for higher education and enable educational institutions to serve geographically, socially, economically, or otherwise excluded learners, serve the needs of informal, non-formal and formal education, help provide articulation arrangements between various sectors of education and improve the quality of education by offering multimedia resources and choices at little or no additional cost. However, as shown by Canole and Murphy, while many OER repositories have been established by institutions, faculty are not widely or effectively using these resources. Yung, Sasaki, and Latcham identify a number of interrelated reasons for this. Firstly, there is a multitude of sources and distribution channels. Reynolds asserts that it is difficult to locate OER and ascertain their benefits. Leacock and Nesbitt argue that sifting through numerous repositories is time-consuming and impractical. Groom reports on the problems of lack of consistent metadata, repositories using differing protocols for communicating with other software, lack of clear licensing information, the difficulty of distinguishing OER from other digital content, and broken links. Faulkner, McGill, Littlejohn, and Borsenow state potential users' concerns about the relevance and quality of OER are important obstacles to OER use, while Denarajan and Abiwardena find that faculty's lack of knowledge and skills in evaluating the quality of OER are also inhibiting their adoption and use. D'Antoni, McGreal, Kinuthia, and Marshall, and Canole report that research into OER tends to concern their development rather than their utilization. Cordemier posits that OER have not affected traditional teaching and learning models in most higher education institutions. Petrides, Chimes, Middleton Detzner, Walling, and Weiss discovered that while reduced cost, dependable quality, and ease of use were the main reasons for open textbook adoption, these resources were used in ways reflecting existing practices. Wiley, Bliss, and McEwen discovered that instructors tend to use and reuse the OER as they are, rather than making an effort to revise, remix, and repropose. In Tanzania, Mtib and Raisamo found that faculty adopted OER for reasons of effort expectancy, rather than pedagogical considerations. Other studies including Buabenganda revealed that factors such as well-established infrastructure, continuous and on-demand training opportunities, technical support, leadership support and other organizational support positively affected teachers' IKT adoption. These findings imply that when OER are developed and introduced at the institutional level, individual faculty members are more likely to adopt OER for reasons of supportive facilitating conditions and low effort expectancy. OER adoption studies employing the technology acceptance model, an information systems theory that models how users come to accept and use a technology in terms of perceived usefulness and ease of use, tend to focus on the practical or functional aspects of technology adoption rather than the all-important pedagogical considerations. In recent years, there has been increased interest in the pedagogical aspects of OER among higher education researchers and practitioners. For example, in the context of Canadian higher education, Jangini, Pitt, Hendricks, Key, and Lowland surveyed the various reasons for using OER in classroom teaching and established that the three principal reasons were 1. Developing ideas and inspiration, 2. Supplementing existing coursework, and 3. Preparing for teaching. The JISC Higher Education Academy's UK OER program and the Open Universities Score have attempted to gain a fuller understanding of the ways in which OER are used in UK universities. They show that faculty's use of OER depends upon their academic preference and judgment. However, none of the above studies offer a conceptual framework for assessing the pedagogical reasons for OER adoption. The current study therefore aimed to investigate and classify faculty's instructional priorities for OER adoption from the pedagogical perspective by applying three well-established instructional priorities: effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal as a framework for initial data analysis. It sought to answer the following questions. Is the general framework based on these three instructional priorities applicable in explaining pedagogical considerations for OER adoption in higher education? Could an elaborated model be proposed to define and explain pedagogical considerations in adopting OER? Are there any differences in instructional priorities of OER adoption across cultures and how can such differences be reflected in future OER research and development? Theoretical underpinning. The main reason for initially basing this study upon the three instructional priorities of effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal is that they are widely used to categorize instructional purposes or outcomes. Honabean and Honabean find that instructional designers and adopters' decisions are not typically based upon theory but that just as trade-offs are needed between time, scope, and cost, instructional designers and course providers have to consider whether their priorities lie in the effectiveness, efficiency or appeal of the method's resources. As defined by Honabean and Honabean, Jung et al., and Riedgelaeff and Frick, effectiveness concerns the extent to which the application of an instructional method helps achieve a learning outcome. Efficiency is a measure of the time and or cost involved in instruction, and appeal is a measure of continuing student enjoyment and participation in the learning. So for example, in considering the merits of particular OER, adopters may conclude that the focus on cognitive content will dilute the appeal of a resource, or the focus on effective and psychometer content may reduce the efficiency of an OER, or a focus on textual content with no interaction or capacity to easily be changed or adapted may lessen the effectiveness of an OER. Honabean and Honabean posit that while effectiveness and efficiency are directly related to the success of instruction in the digital age, appeal might often be the most important priority. During and Velechsinus argue that in today's open digital world, educators should also consider such factors as engagement, social justice, and transformation. So while the current study adopted the three instructional priorities as a tool for initially analyzing the data, the researchers were also open to the possibilities of other pedagogical considerations applying in the adoption of OER for teaching and learning. Methodology. Cases. Cases were solicited across various regions via three resource persons: an editor-in-chief of an international journal on open education, a South Africa-based OER strategist, and an OER developer and researcher in an Asian distance teaching university. The cases were to concern faculty making regular use of OER in their teaching and learning. They were also to be from different regions and cultures. Of the 10 cases finally selected, 4 were from Asia, 2 from North America, 2 from Africa and 2 from Europe. The faculty surveyed varied in their teaching experiences and level of OER adoption. Some simply used YouTube videos while others revised and repurposed existing OER to meet their own teaching needs. In all cases, individual faculty members made a final decision to use OER for their own teaching. However, in cases 1, 3, 7, 8, and 9, OER adoption was largely supported and facilitated at the institutional level, while in cases 2, 4, 5, 6, and 10, it was solely based on an individual instructor's decision and effort. Table 1 presents an overview of the 10 cases adopted. Table 1, overview of the 10 cases included in the study. Data collection. Following a general ethics code for research, the study proposal was reviewed and approved by the Research Ethics Committee at the First Authors University to identify the various pedagogical reasons for and strategies in adopting OER at 3 stages of teaching with OER: selection, implementation, and evaluation. The instructors were asked to complete a pre-developed template between June 1, November 30, 2014. In this, they were invited to enter details of the course in which the OER were used, including course objectives and learner characteristics, their experience with teaching and OER use, and the types of OER used. They were asked to explain the criteria or instructional priorities they used in selecting, implementing, and evaluating these OER, and describe in detail why certain OER were selected, how these were used, and what the intended outcomes were, in order to identify the instructor's pedagogical reasons for adopting OER at each of the 3 stages. They were also asked to make comments regarding the effective use of OER after submitting the completed template. Each instructor participated in 1 or 2 Skype or email interviews with the first author between December 1, 2014 and January 15, 2015 in order to expand on their answers and experiences. Data analysis. The analysis comprised 5 phases: pre-processing, initial coding, elaboration, meaning-making, and modeling. In each phase, 2 of the authors discussed the analysis results several times until accord was reached. In the pre-processing phase, the template and interview responses were exported to NVivo 10 in order to clean and organize the qualitative data. Responses unrelated to the study or without meaning were eliminated. In total, 174 responses related to the pedagogical aspects of OER adoption were used for the initial coding. In the initial coding phase, using each response as an analysis unit, 174 chunks were categorized following the general framework of 3 instructional priorities. 5 codes were created under the effectiveness category, 6 codes under efficiency, and 3 codes under appeal. In the elaboration phase, the authors carefully read and reread all of the responses under each code and category, and clarified the meanings of these responses in order to elaborate the initial coding results. After several rounds of discussions, 40 codes were created with 272 chunks, all of which were elaborated from 174 responses. In the meaning-making phase, the coded data were once again classified, clustered, and refined to make sense of data and more clearly depict the pedagogical considerations for OER use in teaching. The 272 chunks were expanded to 279 chunks and categorized into 49 codes under 3 instructional priorities. It was at this stage that the authors observed that some of the codes and chunks did not accord with the 3 instructional purposes. After discussion, it was agreed to add a 4th instructional priority, extension, encompassing the codes and chunks that did not belong to the 3 priorities. This category was created because it was clear from these codes and chunks indicated that the respondents often used OER to extend learning opportunities, for example through instruction or study outside the traditional classroom methodology, by offering learning options, or aiming for various course-level competencies. The authors regrouped all the chunks into 49 codes, and categorized these codes into 14 domains across the 4 instructional priorities. Domain and code names were then created to highlight the meaning of significant chunks belonged in each category. In the modeling phase, all 14 domains, 49 codes, and 279 chunks were again reviewed, and the domain and code names were refined in an attempt to develop an elaborated model which could clarify the pedagogical considerations in adopting OER after refining and rearranging the codes and chunks. Accordingly, 35 codes with 285 meaningful chunks were included in the final modeling process and categorized into 14 domains across 4 instructional priorities. In the effectiveness category, 133 chunks were placed across 16 codes. In the efficiency category, 35 chunks were located across 6 codes. In the appeal category, 46 chunks were located across 7 codes. And in the extension category, there were 71 chunks across 6 codes. Responses by region were compared across the four instructional priority categories and subcategories to answer research question 3. Findings and discussion. Considerations for OERUs. The three instructional priorities, effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal, were found to be applicable in explaining pedagogical considerations for OERUs in higher education. The need to add one important pedagogical reason for OERUs, extension was also confirmed, as Table 2 shows. 285 meaningful chunks identified from 174 responses were categorized into four instructional priorities. In the effectiveness category, four main reasons for OERUs were identified. In the efficiency category, three main reasons for OERUs were identified. In the appeal category, four key reasons for OERUs were identified. In the extension category, three main reasons for OERUs were revealed. Table 2. Coding and categorization of instructional priorities of using OER indicated. Table 3 presents breakdowns of the chunks within each of four instructional priorities for three stages of OER adoption, selection, implementation, and evaluation. Other category includes chunks that do not particularly belong to any of these stages. Table 3. Important instructional priorities for OERUs at three stages of OER adoption. As initially assumed, effectiveness was shown to be the most important criterion in using OER in teaching and learning with 133 chunks or 47% of the total chunks. This was particularly the case when faculty were first selecting OER for their classes. As Table 3 shows, 30% of the chunks in effectiveness category were chosen at the OER selection stage, compared with 22% at the implementation stage, and 16% at the evaluation stage. The instructors appeared to adopt OER in order to provide better content and promote active and deeper learning. This result partly accords with the previous study by Hanabin and Hanabin, which revealed that instructional designers and teachers tend to choose methods that sacrifice efficiency in favor of effectiveness and appeal. However, in the current study, appeal did not appear to be a strong motive for OER adoption, a matter discussed later in this paper. It was noticeable in this category that the instructors used OER primarily as supplementary materials or examples to help students master key concepts. This more limited use of OER may be due to instructors finding it difficult to identify OER which closely match their overall objectives, quality requirements, or particular local teaching and learning needs. In this study, 4 instructors out of 10 indicated that they felt that OER did not save time or cost because finding reliable, high quality, and relevant OER was a very time-consuming process. Surveying 420 academics in public and private Asian universities, Abiwardina, Chan, and Them established that over 57% of them tended to spend extensive amounts of time locating OER of an acceptable quality and often failed to find what they were looking for. There are also issues of different teaching and learning cultures and language barriers that need to be taken into account. As Richer and McPherson argued, all these issues may explain why the instructors mainly use OER as supplementary rather than integral components of their courses or classes. Further investigation is needed in these regards. It was initially assumed that, as Butcher and Caswell, Henson, Jensen and Wiley discovered, instructors use OER to make more efficient use of their time. Surprisingly, this study revealed that efficiency was the least concern of most instructors. Only those at two distance teaching universities rated efficiency more important. It may be that OER efficiency is a more important consideration where alternative methods of delivery are encouraged and supported at the institutional level. This matter also warrants further investigation. As observed above, with 46 chunks, or 12% of the total chunks, appeal emerged as the second least important reason for adopting OER as Table 3 shows. Appeal was cited as the primary reason for adopting OER at the implementation stage. For example, for the purposes of gaining and maintaining attention and interest through the use of multimedia and hyperlinks. However, this factor was not seriously considered when initially selecting OER or evaluating OER impact. While Hanabin and Hanabin find that appeal is the most important priority in the digital age, and Bates includes novelty in his section's model for media selection, in this case, it transpired that the instructors selected OER to improve learning effectiveness, but at the implementation stage, they focused mainly on OER appeal to the students. In the age of the massification of higher education for digital natives and the millennials, there may be call to develop instructors' competencies in linking motivational strategies to promoting learning effectiveness and achieving learning outcomes as suggested by Rinto. Table 2 shows that extension was an important instructional priority in using OER in face-to-face blended and distance learning contexts, particularly in Europe and Africa, a point discussed in the following section. The OER movement aims to encourage the use, reuse, remix, repurposing, and redistribution of open and free teaching and learning resources with copyright licenses on a worldwide basis. Our study indicates that OER are sometimes being used to broaden learning opportunities, promote sharing and networking, and introduce information and ideas from sources beyond the classroom walls. So some instructors are using OER as both a sustaining and disruptive technology. Sometimes they are using OER as a sustaining technology to support and improve the effectiveness, efficiency and appeal of the existing instructional practices. At other times they are using OER as a disruptive tool for change and innovation. However, as shown in Table 3, while extension was a key concern when evaluating the outcomes of OER applications, it was not so at the stage of selecting and implementing OER. Further studies are needed to investigate how OER can be used as a disruptive technology, bringing about change and transformation in the whole process of teaching and learning. Regional differences. Analysis of the responses to question 3 revealed significant differences across the regions. In the Africa institutions, extension appeared to be the most important criterion for OER adoption, followed by effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal. In the Asia universities, effectiveness was the most important instructional priority for OER use, followed by extension, appeal, and efficiency. In the European institutions, extension was the most important instructional priority for OER use, followed by effectiveness, appeal, and efficiency. In the North American contexts, effectiveness was the most important criterion for OER adoption, followed by appeal, extension, and efficiency. It is interesting to note that extension was considered the most important reason for adopting OER in the European and African institutions, where the instructors indicated the importance of collaboration in OER development and promoting open access and OER use in universities. This finding may reflect the regional efforts being made to communicate, share and discuss OER across boundaries. Europe has a single gateway, the Open Education Europa portal, which was launched by the European Commission in 2013. This portal encourages European OER developers to share OER, open courseware and MOOCs in different languages with teachers, students and other users across the continent. OER users can also discuss various OER-related topics and share their experiences and ideas in this portal. In addition, all EU countries have committed to developing national qualifications frameworks compatible with the overarching framework of the European higher education area. In the case of sub-Saharan Africa, developing and deploying OER in the resource-constrained countries can bring many benefits, and the development and sharing of OER in higher education is being supported by several organizations such as the African Virtual University, OER Africa, the South African Institute of Distance Education, and the Teacher Education in Sub-Saharan Africa project. It might therefore be concluded that where there is regional and national leadership, institutions may adopt OER more readily and provide organizational supports, and faculty members may make greater use of OER. However, empirical studies examining the actual uses of OER in those regions' nations are needed to confirm this statement. Asian educators were found to be more concerned with effectiveness. While this study did not investigate the reasons for this, the university culture and policies in Asia may contribute to this. Pang argues that the globalized economy, commodification of knowledge, retrenchment of the welfare state, and other socio-cultural, economic, and political forces have led to accountability, competitiveness, cost-effectiveness, and quality assurance being brought to the fore in university policy-making. These requirements have impacted on management and classroom practices and led instructors to be more concerned to prove and improve educational processes and outcomes. Effectiveness was also regarded as the most important criterion in OER adoption in the North American institutions. It might be posited that this is because evaluating the achievement of predetermined instructional objectives has typically been the norm in higher education. The above findings show that there is scope for further investigation into the impacts of OER and reasons for the differences in various national and regional settings. Limitations. This analysis of regional differences in faculty members' instructional priorities for adopting OER was based upon a limited number of cases. Therefore, The results and discussion require cautious interpretation. The study did not include another important variable, the individual teaching methods and strategies preferred by faculty or encouraged and supported by the institutional managers or teaching and learning culture. Nor did this study pay particular attention to the disruptive aspects of OER adoption, even though it revealed that OER were used to create new ways of teaching and learning, such as collaborative learning networks. Furthermore, the study did not consider the diversity of OER employed in these cases. These limitations call for further research in wider, cross-cultural contexts and to examine the effects of different types of OER on the pedagogical decision-making, adoption, adaptation, and actual use of these resources by instructors. Conclusion: toward an elaborated model of instructional priorities for OER use, the present study revealed that the three main instructional priorities or reasons, effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal, are important in explaining pedagogical decisions of instructors in higher education for their use of OER in teaching. That extension is another important reason for university faculty to use OER, and that a certain priority is more important than others at the three different stages of pedagogical decision-making, selecting, implementing, and evaluating OER. However, in order to maximize the effects of OER use as suggested in a systems approach to instructional design, we think that instructors need to pay more attention to the four sets of pedagogical motivations for adopting OER at all three stages. Thus, our suggestions are as follows. At the OER selection stage, the instructors appear to be primarily concerned with effectiveness. We propose that they also need to consider efficiency and extension in selecting OER so that they pay particular attention to sharing OER right from the initial planning stage. At the OER implementation stage, the instructors tend to focus on effectiveness and appeal. We propose that they also need to consider extension as an important aspect of adopting OER, not simply as an outcome of OER use. Fully understanding and utilizing the OER's capacity to expand learning opportunities and networking at this stage would help the instructors to adapt OER for various learning purposes. The impact of OER use would be maximized when these three priorities, effectiveness, appeal, and extension, are considered together at this stage. At the OER evaluation stage, most of the instructors appear to focus on extension and some on effectiveness. We propose that they also consider the efficiency dimension and whether OER use has actually reduced teaching learning time, effort and resource requirements, as both emphasize the sharing and collaborative uses of OER. All these suggest need for an elaborated model which better explains the pedagogical imperatives for using OER in university teaching and learning. Figure 1 presents such model. This prospective model needs to be refined and elaborated based on more empirical studies on OER adoption and use in university teaching and learning. Figure 1. A prospective model of pedagogical considerations at three stages of OER adoption. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the IRODL website, www.irodl.org. Goodbye.